we're going to be looking at that in a little bit. So if you'll join me in praying, and then we'll look into God's word briefly before we have our prayer time. Father, we thank you for today. We are so grateful for men like Martin Luther, John Huss, and others who stood firmly on your word. And this day we remember these men. We remember your work through them to help us to see the light of the gospel, to see Christ Jesus. And we thank you for this time to pray together in a special way on this fifth Sunday. Pray that you would lead us, guide us, and direct us, that we might be pleasing to you and honoring to you. And I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Back in May, we looked at Nehemiah's first prayer in chapter 1 of Nehemiah. And in August, we looked at his prayer in chapter 2. And this morning, we're going to look at one of the numerous prayers after those two chapters in chapter 4. None of his prayers were long prayers except for chapter 1, and that wasn't a really long prayer. If you sat down and read it out loud, you wouldn't be praying for very long. But there are times when he's just, it's a sentence or maybe two. But we'll look at some of these, two of these today in chapter 4. Well, this is just a reminder for us all. We're not Israel. God made a covenant with Israel, not us, not the church. They are his people. That being said, only those who trusted in him looking forward to Christ are saved, were saved, and those who look back, those who are Jews looking back to Christ are saved. They do have a natural identity, a national identity with God, but all of them are not saved by being in covenant with him. And we know that God gave them a law, and in that law set forth blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and 29 and Leviticus chapter 26. For a brief time they obeyed the Lord, but they became more and more stubborn, and they disobeyed him to the point, as God said he would do. They were expelled from their land, and they were dispersed among the nations. But God did promise. He did not promise to leave them in exile, and Nehemiah was written, at least in part, to show us what happened when he brought them back into the land, how he rebuilt, how the city was rebuilt. People worked, people labored, people lived inside the city, outside the city. And last, even if we are not Israel and haven't experienced exile for disobedience and a return to our land, I believe there are some lessons for us. And one thing I think we can certainly learn from Nehemiah is that a passion for God and his people and what they are facing should have an effect on our lives. That's what Nehemiah had. He had a great passion for his people. And we see that in that first chapter, and we see that even as it were, kind of trembled when the king spoke to him, and then he laid out what he wanted to do. I also know that we all get caught up in various things that we're doing, whether it's activities, whether it's family, friends, others, and these are all good. But when we learn about the needs of God's people, just remind us all of several scriptures that speak to meeting other people's needs. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, and 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, and Philippians chapter 4, 10 to 14, Acts chapter 11, verses 27 to 30, and 1 Corinthians 16, 1 to 3. Each of these talk about, in one case, three of these verses or passages talk about things that were going on in Jerusalem and how Paul exhorted the believers in Corinth to fulfill what they said they would do and help to meet their needs, as others did. And Paul was thankful and grateful for those of the Philippians who helped meet his needs. So we see that Nehemiah's example is instructive for us, and to whatever degree we can do as he did. We can't, probably none of us are builders or governor types, but we can all do what we can to help God's people. So I'd like us to look at Nehemiah chapter 4. And there we're going to see two very brief prayers of Nehemiah. One is in verses 4 and 5, and the other is down in verse 9. And it's not Nehemiah's prayer, it says we. The first one might be Nehemiah solely praying, but it says in verse 9, but we pray to our God there. So in both cases, Nehemiah was either by himself praying, maybe verses 4 and 5, and verse 9 joining with others to pray. So if we just look back at chapter 2 for a moment before we read that, just a reminder that when Nehemiah first got to the city, he made a survey. We see that in chapter 2. And he then talked to some of the officials. And then we see the first encounter that he would have with people who would be against the Jews and against him. Verse 19 says, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, what is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. And then if we were to read chapter 3, if you were to read chapter 3, you see where they started building. And they got a lot done. And when we come to chapter 4, and I'm going to read it and make some comments on the way, we'll see what God did through Nehemiah and what he's doing and what he could do today if we are in a situation where we can help somebody else to be a blessing to them in hard times that they're facing. So let me begin with chapter 4, verse 1. Now it came about that when Sanballat, we just read about him in chapter 2, heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. And he spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was near him, and he said, even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down. So we see that right away, they've finished a good portion of the wall. We read back in chapter 3, they'd made a big headway on what they were doing. But it wasn't in any way completed, and there's going to be more that's going to be done in the following chapters. But here, Tobiah and Sanballat come, and they're desiring to basically stop them from the work. And if you read more about Tobiah, you find he was a very wicked person. He had inroads with other people who were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. And so Sanballat is going to be a perpetual menace to them, so to speak. And then Tobiah is going to join in with him along with other people. Notice just again what he says. What are these feeble Jews doing? Well, yes, they are feeble in a way because they didn't have a lot with them. They didn't have much land. It wasn't worked, and they had to. Nehemiah brought things with him by the king's permission, so they didn't have much, but they were working and they were being diligent. So yes, they were feeble Jews in that sense. Are they going to restore it for themselves? Well, we'll find out, and if you keep reading in Nehemiah for yourself, you find out they're not building for themselves. They're building for the Lord. They're building to honor him. So they're not building it for themselves. They're even going to charge Nehemiah with seeking to be the king later on. Can they offer sacrifices? Well, that's one of the first things they did when they got there. They set up things so that they could offer sacrifices. So, yes, they are. Can they finish in a day? Well, no. And we learn later that it took 52 days, but that was really very wonderful to be able to do it in 52 days to do the wall as they did and then to finish up later. Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones? Well, they didn't. They didn't do that, well, as far as we know. They built what they had, and they worked diligently. And then Tobiah's comment, you know, a fox is not very big and is very light. So if you ever see a fox, you know that if you think about what he's saying here. Here's this fox, a little light, small animal running over their wall, and it would break their stone wall down. Well, you can see the type of comment he's making, just, you know, really being unkind and ungracious to them, because a wall can stand up to a fox. So it's not, you know, his desire, basically to say they're just shabby work. It's not going to work, and you know, just really mocking them. So here we have the first prayer. It's in chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And we see what Nehemiah and the others say. Hear, O our God, how we are despised. Return their reproach on their own heads and give them up for plunder in the land of captivity. Do not forgive their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have demoralized the builders. You notice the end of the verse, in verse 5, gives basically the reason why he's doing this. They're seeking to demoralize them. They're seeking to divert their attention, keep them away from what God has given them to do, and that is to rebuild the city, to rebuild their land, and to encourage their people, and to reestablish themselves in the land that God had promised them, and that they had been given the permission to go back to and to restore. So he says, just to be a reminder here, how we are despised. They were despised. Sanballat, Tobiah, others, they despised these people. They didn't want them in the land. They wanted everything for themselves. And he says, return their reproach upon their own heads and give them up for plunder in the land of captivity. Now again, there are a lot of people who think that, you know, when we declare things like this, when we ask things like that, we're just being mean-spirited. We're being hard on those people. But if you think about it, if you do something wrong, you deserve the consequences of what you do. So if a person sins, they deserve punishment. They deserve judgment. So Nehemiah is not doing anything that is out of kilter. It is true with what God says. If we do something wrong, we deserve to be judged. And so he's only asking for that with regard to Sanballat and Tobiah and the others. Then we notice in verse 6, so we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it came about when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs and the Ammonites, or the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on, and that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. And here we see the second prayer, whether it's Nehemiah and others or he's speaking as for what he did in their behalf. But we prayed to our God, and because of them we set up a guard against them day and night. Thus in Jerusalem it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing, yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. So they asked God for help. They knew that they could not do this by themselves. But they also did something that we all need to do too, and that is that God has not given us just the privilege to come to him in prayer, but he also says to us to work. And so they set up a guard against them day and night, and they were afraid. We can see that in verse 10. And we see what the enemies say in verses 11 and following. I just want us to be reminded that for each of us, we have opportunities ourselves that sometimes we know are there, sometimes we don't know that they're there. We don't know circumstances that occur to us. And if we are being like a Nehemiah, I just would ask for myself, for each of us, that we are reminded that there are things that go on about us, and when we are attempting to do something, and maybe it's a very hard task, we need to cry out to God. And we need to have that concern that Nehemiah had for his people. And so we are told in Galatians chapter 6 very clearly that we should have a heart for those who are around us, but especially for the believers. So if we know that somebody needs help, we should do whatever we can to help them. So just some closing thoughts. Helping others, and particularly other believers, is a very important way of expressing the love of Christ to those people, and it shows the world more of who God is and who Christ is. And second, we see in Nehemiah the work of restoration of an exiled people. And someday there's going to be a person, the God-man, who's going to come, and he's going to restore the Jews to their rightful place, and there is going to be peace and harmony in this world, a harmony and peace that we'd never see without him. So we have much to be thankful for in Christ Jesus. Well, let me pray, and then I will turn it over to Jim. So, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for Nehemiah. Thank you for his prayers. Thank you for his labors. And I pray that you would remind us to be good servants of Christ, to walk with you, to seek you, and to be a blessing to those around us who are in need, that we might show the love of Christ, and that the world around us would see the love of Christ and might be used of you to turn them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you and ask these things in his name. Amen.